We are back on this Sens game day Friday morning. How's it going, everybody? 7:19. JR, Simmer, and Hammer with you. We already had an early morning conversation for us. Mid-afternoon for AJ Jackiebeck over in Qatar. He's getting set for, what, a couple more games today? Mm-hmm. What's he got? 9 more to go, I think he mentioned. He was running it down last of the group stage games today, and then the knockout round starts tomorrow. And I think he said he'd be there. I don't even know when he's coming back. He's supposed to be back at work a week from Monday. Should we lay some odds as to whether he'll be back in time?
No, I actually get the feeling he's a bit homesick, JR. So I think he'll either return a bit. Well, he won't return early because nowadays trying to do that would cost you too much. But I think he'll be back. And it's also interesting in his language.
Uh-huh.
This is really for any sport. I know he's very pro-Canadian league. And we always say this, you want Canadians playing. And then you also go through and you start thinking as a real fan, it's like, listen, if we really want to be good for 2026, everybody has to leave the Canadian League and get experience other places. That's the way it works when you're kind of where the Canadian League is at, right? You want Canadians playing, but at the same time, we want our top players playing in the better league. So we're ready, hopefully have a better squad for 2026.
All right. It is a wrench throwing Friday, so Big Meanie has a wrench for us at 12:12. Good morning, gents. Please throw a wrench at all the pompous soccer fans who think they're Euros. A field is a field. It's not a pitch. It's practice, not training. And if it's a win or a tie, it's a win or a tie. It's not a result. That's from Big Meanie.
I'm the radio guy, buddy.
How about fit instead of injured? Yeah. I like that. He's fit to play.
Yeah, but also, and I was really disappointed with the TSN website as well. When the Mexican coach and whatever, what was it, the Belgium coach, both sacked.
Yes.
Like, come on. That's one of the greatest terms of all time. And that's one of the things I love about European and other countries is they fire you before you get home. Like, we've seen that in the Olympics, right? I think the Russian coach in Vancouver got fired before he left. Like, it's down.
They don't want to put you on the plane.
Yeah, well,
you can find your own
way
home. Kind of like Gerard Gallant.
That's true. Kick you to the curb. But but literally, it just like, hey, the minute the whistle blew, I think it was the Belgium coach or the Mexican coach said, listen, I knew I was sacked.
I'm out.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
their
contracts run out at the end of these major competitions. Roberto Martinez, the Spanish coach, he's from Spain, but been coaching Belgium for 6 years.
Okay.
His contract was out, and he said, yep, I'm done.
This is the end of the whole thing, right, in Belgium, in a sense of they're totally going to turn that whole thing over, are they not, Jer?
It feels like
that group is like
the golden generation.
They hate each other.
A little long in the tooth.
Yeah.
Kaku said it himself. We're too old.
Yeah. No, it was De Bruyne that said that. All right. Our TSN 1200 tool and equipment store web poll question is Canada has finished its tournament as well, finishing 0-3. What is your one thought, your one overriding thought on Canada at the World Cup? Four options for you. Great experience for 2026. Happy they were there. Performed as expected or underwhelmed? What is your one overriding? I know that maybe all of them fit, but if you had to pick one of those, well, you can only pick one of those. What would it be? Great experience for 2026. Happy to be there. Performed as expected or underwhelming? Is there one that sticks out, Simmer? And then one that for sure you that maybe is a close second or doesn't.
Well, even though I was a four-time city champion with the Gloucester Hornets, I'm not a mega soccer guy. So I look at this, JR, and what's kind of interesting is that back to, is it 86 or 84 that we played?
86.
Okay, so 86. I don't remember the feelings at the time, but it didn't feel like it was going anywhere. And it was absolutely where, hey, this feels like a building block. And as I've said, both in soccer, basketball, hockey, tennis, it feels like it's finally sustainable. And what's also, I guess, good is that we're in the next tournament. I know it sounds strange, but I assume we'd qualify, JR, but you never know.
Right,
I mean,
48 teamer
next
time.
That's a good point. You keep bringing that up. So anyways, no, I look at it and say, hey, we got there. We kind of felt what it was all about. We have some really good young players, and as AJ, I don't think anybody knows it better. I do think we'll field a better team. So I think this is a great experience for the country, for the players and everybody. So I'll go with that. I think it's a great experience for 2026.
All right, Hammer.
Performed as expected for myself. There's a bunch of nice highlights. They controlled play sometimes, and they, of course, were completely dominated at times as well. I thought it's exactly what I thought was going to happen. I did think they would at least get a point, but for the most part, Lived up to my expectations.
Okay. All right. Good. I thought we'd all have the same answer, and I don't. So mine is underwhelming. So, you know, and whether I read too much of the press clippings, because I was told by soccer fan last night that we all should have known that Canada wasn't going to get a point. Apparently, we all knew this ahead of time. Now, no one was saying it ahead of time, but everybody came out of the woodwork last night moonwalking expectations all the way back. So, yeah. Over underwhelming.
Well, and you who had Morocco on their radar, JR?
No one.
Because this was supposed to be, well, we're going to get a result against one of the other two, and then we're just going to clean up on Morocco, right?
That was absolutely the thought, and that was a misread, because Morocco actually won the group that Canada was in when it was all said and done. So, yeah, that was a, I think, you know, generally, I'd done a lot of reading, and it was kind of like, a lot of people said it was... It was a strong group, not a group of death, but all of the teams were capable of coming out. But by and large, most of the predictions were Belgium and Croatia would come out, Canada would be third, and Morocco was fourth. I saw more than a few that if one of the Canada or Morocco of those two, which might sneak in, it was Canada across the board in the predictions I had seen. So the fact that Canada goes 0-3, and you know, did they perform? You know, in the Belgium game, did they perform well? Yeah, they did. They probably should have had a better, sorry, Big Mini, result in that, but they didn't, you know, and that's soccer. But they got overrun at times against Croatia, and then yesterday, the first 20 minutes was just a disaster against, I mean, that was brutal.
Well, and the part when you watch the Croatia game, JR, I was hoping it would stop at 4-1, and that you don't say that very often in soccer, right? Like, it was getting, I was like, oh my God, this could go into the embarrassment zone, and when they started out 2-0 yesterday, I kind of thought, are we headed back to that? So I kind of say, okay, first of all, I wish the Belgium game had not been the first one, because I do think kind of the way we saw this was different, but that's the way it plays. Would you also agree with what you're saying? Like when I see a team, I want to say some unluck in the draw, like we are better than Australia. Would you not agree? Or is that just, hey, you know, we didn't perform? Like I
kind of way ahead of them in the world rankings,
well,
for sure.
Well, yeah. And, so. And even, you know, where Mexico was able to do, or, and I know they didn't get through. But yeah, it's interesting to break. And I guess the other part for the experts that are out there, it's kind of like when people put out the CHL rankings in junior hockey. It's like, well, how do you know where the Ottawa 67s rank against the Kamloops Blazers when they don't play each other?
Yeah.
And I know they judge it, and I know they're experts in soccer, but it's hard to go when you watch CONCACAF and say, well, this is where Canada should rank. And like I said, obviously a lot of people didn't know, because would you also agree Morocco wasn't a fluke, right? They're actually a really good team.
Absolutely.
Right? Like like you have some teams that get hot, but now you go into a tournament like that and you're like, wow. And if you want to talk about disappointment, I mean, Belgium was just, you know, that's a disaster.
That's where anybody, as some people are coming at me like, oh, we're, you know, well behind these other three sides in terms of the world rankings. The world rankings suck. Belgium is not the number two team. The FIFA rankings say they're the number two team in the world. Nobody watching this thinks they're the second best team in the world. Nobody.
Okay, so
the FIFA rankings are ridiculous.
They didn't think that coming in, Jarrett?
No, absolutely.
And Germany has to be a big shock, right?
Germany's huge, yeah. I think the part for me and why I say underwhelming, and listen, look, overall, yeah, you know, I'm past the happy to be there stage. That for me was in March when they won the qualification. I don't know why we're still celebrating that 8 months later. That was what we celebrated 8 months ago. Okay. Just because we were physically there, I don't know. Oh, the first goal thing. Okay. I guess. But man, if that's what we're left with, that's a very low bar that we've set for ourselves as Canadians. I think we can do a little bit better.
Yeah.
I think it's okay to have some expectations of our athletes on a national stage.
Yeah.
In fact, I think that athletes like to have a little bit of pressure on them. I think that sometimes they actually perform better when there's expectations.
Yeah.
There's this, not this whole thing, oh, don't hurt their feelings. Don't pile too much stuff on. They might fold. Like, no, they all have psychologists now coming out the yin yang.
Oh.
Like, come on. So I guess the part for me that makes it a little bit, and I all four of those I could answer. But what makes it underwhelming for me is the fact I watched a lot of other games and a lot of other teams that weren't ranked nearly as highly as Canada beat teams that were actually better than the ones Canada played against, quite frankly.
Yeah,
Saudi Arabia beat Argentina. Japan beat Spain and Germany.
Yeah, incredible.
Right.
Came back to beat them.
Right.
And we beat them in a friendly.
Yeah.
Stop being so friendly.
So
they didn't have a lot of starters in that friendly. So
oh, they didn't?
Don't read too much into that.
Japan?
One. Japan, yeah.
You broke that. That's awesome, Hammer.
No,
you knew that?
I read that there was only, I think, 3 or 4 starters on that squad.
Oh, so they were just playing with us. I don't like that either.
I think they were already prepared. They were already set.
And to that, JR, I do find it comical. And people say, well, why do you think a Canadian team hasn't won the Stanley Cup? There's so much pressure. I'm like, have you been to Europe? Do you understand that they write personal things about the players? Like, you think about that. You think about what happens in New York with the players and everything else. And to that point on the soccer, it is interesting to try to gauge. I guess one of my summaries, though, and I know Herdman is a good talker. I don't like this idea. We are not Brazil, where you talk about Pelé's era, and they said, listen, let's get back to playing Brazilian soccer. I'm not of that thought in Canada. Listen, if I'm going into games tactically, I don't care that Atiba Hutchinson's played 3 million games. I'm going in tactically to win games, not to play the way we played to get in. That doesn't mean anything to me, JR. I'm going against Croatia, and I don't know soccer. But when somebody tells me that you're doing a 4-2-4, which is the way I like to line up my planes, but do you know what I mean? Like, I think that he really, if he was in another country, I think his job would be on the line, because I think his approach to this tournament was terrible. I don't believe that that's the way you should be. Well, the Croatia thing was that comment, we'll just leave that alone. But tactically, he got absolutely schooled, JR. You go in to win these games. I don't go in to show the style that we played against a lesser group in CONCACAF. And as far as Alphonso Davies as well, I love him. But every team needs to be coached and everybody needs to be lead. And when it comes to even the kick against Belgium, I designate who's going to kick. I don't let a player come up and say, listen, I'm going to take the ball and go and kick it. I don't care who you are. You're a backfielder or whatever they call it. Like I
well, not helping
okay,
yourself.
I
right
know,
now.
I know. Okay.
A defenseman.
Okay, let's leave. You're not. You're not a linebacker.
You know what? You're going okay there. Okay. And okay. You kind of.
Anyways,
yourself.
I think let's just summarize it.
Yes.
I think if you wanted to put any blame on the team, I think it should be right at the coach.
Okay.
I don't think he performed well at all, JR.
All right.
And he actually looked like a bit of a fool on the big stage.
Actually, you know, if we're on John Herdman, do we have that clip about John Herdman's coaching Canada in 2026? So Matthew Schnetti from TSN had an interview with him shortly after the final match yesterday. And if you want, do we have the question as well or just the answer? Just the answer? Okay. Anyway, so Matthew Schnetti asked a very straightforward question to pretty much of, are you going to coach Canada in 2026? I think it was pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. If you want to hear the furthest answer from yes and a lot of baffle gab, listen to this from John Herdman.
I'm the most passionate coach, I think, in the country. And I love this job, love the boys, love the experience. And now I can take that experience into the next 4 years. I mean, my contract's been signed till 2026. I came on a mission in 2018. To help rebuild this program, to put it back on the map. We've competed there. We've really competed in big games. And we'll be back. We'll be back fighting. I'll be back fighting strong, as we always do. We'll learn. It stings. It always does sting. But we'll be back.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. No, you know, yeah. will you be coaching the team in 2026?
Yeah.
Yes. That would have been the straightforward answer. And listen, even if you say yes, okay, nobody's going to hold, things can change in 4 years reasons.
Yeah.
All right. So that's that to me, and this is not just me saying this, the guys on the TSN panel were saying the same thing. Yeah. The straightforward answer would have been a straight up yes.
Yeah.
That's him. Right. Yeah. That's him leaving his options. That's him telling the rest of the world, I'm open for offers. Yeah. That's what that was right there.
And really he should be, JR, in a sense of he's 47 years old. Now I don't know how the world of soccer would look at him based on the tournament. They'd probably look at the big picture and kind of understand or sit down with him. He's 47 years old. To block off the next 4 years, JR, and be in your 50s, and not that he's still a young guy, but I totally get it. You know, right now, if there is an opportunity, if your dream is to coach in the EPL, I don't know that sitting here and coaching Canada, who's already qualified for the next World Cup for the next 4 years, would be the best way to spend your professional time. So
They talked about him and they said, look, you know, if you eventually want to get to coaching and or managing the Premiership, he's not ready for that. First of all, go to a club level, right? He's been coaching, you know, on the women's side and on the men's side at a country level. You got to go to the club level, and you know, if you want to go back to England or whatever, that you'd have to go to the Championship level, which is one level below the EPL, and prove yourself there, right? So,
and you also have to, and again, if you're smart, if you're John Herdman, you got to pick that next job properly, JR, as well, because part of what you'd be balancing is knowing that, hey, I'm in the next World Cup, and if I think Canada's going to have a better team, maybe I stay the course.
I got the spot for him.
What's that?
Wrexham, baby.
Oh, man.
Hey, welcome to Wrexham. Oh, John Herdman right there. Ryan Reynolds on line one.
Yeah, maybe even a little time here with Auto Atletico. You tie into the ownership with the Sens and everything else, and the world comes full circle. Hmm. But if I'm him, you got to make sure you go to the next right place that, hey, here's a team that's well-funded and maybe has an opportunity to either jump up or to improve, because we also know if you go sideways on this and head to a program that doesn't go well, you'll be off the soccer map in a hurry. So, yeah, big career decision for him for sure.
A couple of wrenches to wrap up the soccer talk. Wrench to Simmer for saying, when's the last time you saw a country wear a jersey color that was different than their flag? Italy and Japan in blue, Netherlands in orange, Australia in yellow and gold. That comes from onside.
Let's go.
And a wrench to the black kits that Canada wore. Worst result in color that has nothing to do with our country. Along the same lines, that's from onside.
It's a kick in the balls for us.
I got to break that down further, though. I thought Australia always... Is there no yellow in the Australian flag?
I don't believe so.
And there is blue in the Italian flag last time I looked, no?
No, it's green and green and red.
Okay, well...
It's a good try, though. And I thought I was all over it yesterday when I saw Canada come out in the all-reds, and I put it out there, and I said, look, Canada's in the red, the all-reds. Herdman is in the white dress shirt only, no jacket. I said, this is going to be good for Canada. And Sweatpants gave it away within 1 minute of me posting.
A howler right after your tweet, right?
Timing is everything. All right, 7:36. Thoughts on anything we chat about is welcome. Text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN1200. We'd love your votes on our Tool and Equipment Store web poll question as well. Your one thought on Canada's performance at the World Cup. We'll come back and set up a Sens game day as they're taking on the Rangers tonight. That's next on TSN1200.
This is TSN 1200.
Welcome back, 7:43 on this Friday morning. J.R. Simmer and Hammer. Dave Poulin is standing by. He's going to join us coming up after 8 and after 9 this morning. Talk a little NCAA football. Christian Veau grew up here in Ottawa, went down to the States to play some prep school, and then got a scholarship to go to Penn State to play quarterback. Spent a couple of years down at Penn State. Didn't get the starting job for a bunch of different reasons. Anyway, he's gone into the transfer portal and is going to be moving schools. We're going to talk to Christian about going to time at Penn State and kind of what future plans are as far as where school he might end up at. We'll do that coming up a little later on this morning. Wrench to my wife on this wrench throwing Friday for draining my AirPods last night, so I had no way of listening to you boys while walking the dog this morning. It comes from unsigned.
Gloria! Gloria! I think I got your number!
That's completely offside.
Yeah, it really is. Something very personal for everybody, and I don't think anybody should be using somebody else's ear set. Anything that goes into my ear should not go into anybody else's, vice versa.
Absolutely. Dwight in Canada, despite Simmer's old man yelling at Cloud's diatribe, I agree with him about the coach and how they played and performed. That's from Dwight in Canada. That was not a wrench. Okay, 7:44. Sens are in New York today to play the Rangers, of course, first of the back-to-back for the first time this year, with San Jose here tomorrow. And, of course, Sens lost to the Rangers here at Canadian Tire Center on Wednesday by a score of 3-1. That had come after they had played one of their better games in the last month, the 3-1 win to wrap up the road trip out in L.A. Here's Tyler Mott on the team trying to find consistency.
I just think we got to have guys step up at different times. Again, you can't rely on the same group, the same handful of guys every single night. When some guys don't have it, some night someone else has got to step up. I think for the most part, we've had some guys that have stepped up in situations. Obviously, losing a guy like Josh early on in the season, we got to continually have other guys step up, and it's not just guys filling his role as a center on the power play. It's other guys contributing in many different ways, and there's a lot of ways to win hockey games. We got to find, you know, how we can win on a consistent basis and just continue to find it every night.
All right. There's a very well-spoken Tyler Motte.
Yeah.
Who actually played with the Rangers last year in the playoffs and got a couple of goals. He'll be playing against his old mates tonight.
Yeah, and you know what he's brought to the table, Jarrett? $1.3 million, kind of a fill for the Formanton situation, has been fine. But the realization, and especially the tipping point of, we talk about Paul and Brown and Formanton, but when Josh Norris stepped out or was hurt, you look at that bottom six, Jarrett. I'm not so sure any of them are underperforming. I don't think any of them are really capable offensively. I mean, again, you look at Matthew Joseph's career, you look at Motte, you go to Broussard, then you mix into the fourth line. That's kind of where you're at. Now, on the back end, I guess offensively, you'd like to maybe see Branstrom a little bit more, but I can't really say any of those players are underperforming. It's kind of late on the top six, which I guess more importantly, you want to see a little more consistency from the Pinto, DeBrinket, Batherson group, right? Mm-hmm. I guess if I was looking for any, you know, line or group to step up and do a little bit more, that would be the trio I'd be focused on.
Yeah. And you know, I heard them the discussion on Derek Brassard, because he's one of the guys that did talk after the loss the other night, and he's a veteran. He's been around for a long time, and you know, about how he's probably been at expectation, right? Mm-hmm. He hasn't been bad. He's been fine. We'll put it that way. But I even think when they signed him, there was not a thought that Derek Brassard was going to play 82 games.
No.
Right? He was going to be a guy that spotted in, and when you had a more minor, you know, he comes in for a couple of weeks, and maybe somebody's got a slight injury or whatever, or just needs, you know, some time off, as it were. He comes in and plays some games, and then switches out again. And you know, right now there is seemingly not a ready-made solution down in Belleville, and I don't think Dylan Gambrell is necessarily a large step up. So it's kind of like Brassard is the guy. So I just wonder from that. And Pinto's been put up into the second line role, and he's got 9 goals, so there's nothing wrong with that. But I think overall he's a young player still finding his way, and some nights he sticks out and some nights he doesn't. And that's, you know, I just wonder if for all that we've talked about adding a defenseman, I still think that everybody thinks that's more than necessary. I wonder if they're out there poking around for another forward too.
Yeah, it could be. Now I would also, I guess, big picture kind of look and say, well, realistically, do you want them giving up much of an asset for a rental? But if you can improve your program a little bit, as far as Pinto, I would say on the majority nights, Jer, I find him hard to find. And I don't mean that as a negative, but what he has shown us is a real ability to score goals. But everything he does is very solo, right? I don't see him distributing the puck a lot, but he's a young guy. And he's probably, well, he is in a slot that I don't think he's quite ready for. He should be a third line center. So yeah, and as far as Brassard, I think the little sample size in training camp fooled you a bit. He's still a very good skater. But his physical skills were on decline 5 years ago when they moved into Pittsburgh, and that's where he's at. He is not physically capable to win a whole lot of puck battles right now. Was never the biggest guy to start with. So, yeah, you get a bit of flash from him, but that's it.
The numbers, you know, and again, this is not to denigrate Derek Brassard. As I said, he's been what he is and what everybody expected. Yeah. He's been a 30-point guy for the last 4 years.
Exactly,
that's what he is, maxed out. So to expect anything more, if he's been given a regular position, I think is, you know, it's just doesn't stand to reason.
No,
history would tell you that he is what he is.
No, and the guy, again, kind of fooled me a little bit, would have been Matthew Joseph for the sample size of, 13 points in 12 games last year. But when you really look at his career, now you watch him play, and for the contract being 4 years at, $3 million a year, you know, that's turned out, unfortunately, to just be a mistake. He's okay, but he's a third-line player, same thing. Didn't he get you maybe 25, and he has not been able to elevate whatsoever.
The Sens did recall Nikita Zaitsev from Belleville yesterday, which...
it's unfortunate you have to publish that stuff. Like, you should save that for Friday at about just around game time.
The communications department should have had some sort of thing where they put that out in the middle of the night so maybe people would miss it, because that got the reaction that I think you would expect it would have gotten. Now, just because Zaitsev has been recalled does not necessarily mean he's going to play tonight. They only have six defensemen here in Ottawa for the game on Wednesday night, and especially when you're on the road in case of a last-minute illness or an injury during warm-up, you want to make sure you have enough bodies to be covered. So it could be that Zaitsev is just up and he's there. He's the in case of emergency break glass guy. And that's, I think, what we most of us think. But given the history here, I'm not putting that at 100%. I'm putting it 95%, and there's 5% chance he plays tonight.
If he's in the lineup, again, things are a little tough for the coach right now. I just wouldn't do that. Even if I thought he was a better option, which in the case of some of the players that they've had to use. But here's the thing, JR, and I said this earlier as well, a couple of things. Hey, get Thompson and JBD playing, but there's not really a purpose to be paying somebody a one-way salary to be in the press box when Zaitsev is in the minors. Like, honestly, recall him as a seventh defenseman, have him there, and I don't know what the protocol is financially for the club, but that makes sense. So we'll see what ends up happening.
You're paying Zaitsev the same money, whether he's in Ottawa or Belleville.
Exactly. Right? And so, that to me, I don't understand on any particular night of having a young player sit in the press box and the fact of even going on the road now in a back-to-back of having to pay him. So we'll see. But, I'd be a little surprised if he went back in, because it felt like when that decision was made to waive him and send him down was as much about the manager saying, listen, do not put this guy back in the lineup. So, that would not go over well with the fan base tonight if he's in the lineup.
Yeah. Between Ottawa and the three games he played in Belleville, Nikita Zaitsev is 0-for-10 this year. He's been in 10 games between the two teams. And,
no.
They have not. No one.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, man.
That's not piling on.
No.
That's just.
That's a lot of burden for one man to carry.
It is. It is. You mentioned yesterday, and then I saw the stat that Ottawa has played well at MSG. I'm not sure if that's the building they've had the most success in around the NHL, but if not, pretty darn close. Yeah. 27-20-2 all time are the Sens at MSG.
And it feels like the last 10 years in covering the team just feels like no matter what is happening in a year, that they've always gone in and played, not to mention knocking the Rangers out in the playoffs 5 years ago, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of Erik Karlsson, who's here tomorrow.
Yeah.
He got still remember the game winner he got in game six of that series at MSG knocked out Lundqvist and the Rangers.
Yeah, and memories of that series, of course, is the whole Chris Neal situation. But the other one for that and that run that is, and again, it's also interesting to kind of gauge where Boston was at the time, JR. But I really thought the big part of that was Craig Anderson flat out out-dueled Tuukka Rask and then out-dueled Henrik Lundqvist. And I think it was the overtime goal against Turris. You might say it's a decent shot, but if you actually watch it, at the end of the day, that series against the Rangers was all about the better goaltender. That's why Ottawa won that.
So the deadline for Alex Formanton to be signed to an NHL deal, be it with Ottawa or if they had have traded his rights to another team, that came and went yesterday at 5 o'clock with nothing. So... it is, as has been well explained, this is it. Alex Formanton cannot play in the National Hockey League this season. He is free, obviously, as an unsigned player to go to sign a deal over and play in Europe. That is an option. The Sens do retain his rights. Now, the one question I have that I don't know the answer to, I'm assuming, Simmer, that next summer, again, if they decide to go, you would have to give him another qualifying offer next year, would you not? Like the qualifying offer that they offered him last year that he did not sign. That has to be redone again next year, I'm assuming?
That's a real good question, JR, because this circumstance is so bizarre. I think generally, I don't know.
I would think so.
Oh, I would think so. But as far as retaining rights, and I know there's been some frustration with people on social media, why aren't people diving any deeper into this? It's like, hey, listen, the story's already out there. I don't think we have to, and we also don't have all the facts, so I don't think there's any reason, but there's an understanding of what's happening, and also said this, there was no way in the world that we're living in right now anybody was going to trade for Alex Formanton. So I really do think, in talking to people in Europe, JR, I think the KHL might be his option if he ends up going anywhere. And then you start to wonder, with missing a year and just kind of the circumstance, I really do, you have to really kind of wonder what the heck Alex Formanton's future is going to be in the NHL. But I guess that may come out when we finally get the results of the investigation.
Yeah, there are many layers to the onion
for sure.
Until the bigger picture, the stuff that's in and around the Hockey Canada investigation, until that all comes out, and I the wheels of I'll say justice in this case turn very slowly, much slower than I think we all sometimes expect. I tend to think. I mean, the interviews we were told during the many parliamentary hearings. You know, they started, you know, this whole story came to light in May.
Yeah.
With the 2018 team. By July, there was a lawyer that had been sent by Hockey Canada to interview all of the players on that 2018 team. And I think she had said that she had, stand to be corrected, but I believe she had said by the end of the summer that she had completed most of those interviews. So it has now been, 3 months since then? And I know it takes time to, there are other people to talk to other than the players, I don't think it's necessarily, it's not a list that's 500 deep where you got to be flying all over the world. You know, there are 20 odd players on the team. There is management and staff with the team. There were people that were, you know, at that Hockey Canada event in 2018. And then there is the victim in the case as well. Like all, you know, that I think that those are the people you need to talk to. Yeah. I don't think it's a long, long list after that. So
my point here
being that I think whatever results of any investigation should be coming out, I would think, in somewhat short order.
Yeah. It is interesting, JR, because I don't know how that's controlled or controlled by anybody. And a couple of things here. You're involving Hockey Canada, which I don't think has any control when it's released. You have the investigation. You also have the National Hockey League. And I'm somewhat interested, guys, is that we also heard whispers about 2003. Was there anything going on there? And of course, technically it's the 2023 World Junior. 20 years later is returning to Halifax. Mm. And I was at that tournament. I don't think that they control it, but I kind of now think to myself, well, are they going to wait till the new year and the World Junior being over? But I don't know that, like, I wouldn't think that the...
You would hope not.
Yeah, exactly. But I just wonder, who is... And for the National Hockey League, I'm just very curious as to players that were not playing in the NHL that maybe are now, as to what jurisdiction or just really how this is all going to play out, Jer. I think that's the part of it. I don't think any of us can really speculate on how this is all going to unfold at this point.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. But the bottom line, as far as Alex Formanton and the Sens go, no deal. Therefore, he will not be rejoining the team this season. We'll see what happens beyond that, if and when things come around next summer. All right, so Sens and Rangers tonight. Then it's the San Jose Sharks here tomorrow night. First back-to-back for Ottawa this year, Erik Karlsson and the Sharks. And Hammer told me yesterday, I did not know this, that James Reimer Kaapo Kähkönen. It's Kirill Kaprizov and Kaapo Kähkönen. One's Russian and one's Finnish, but Kaapo Kähkönen is the Sharks goalie. Anyway, Reimer's hurt, so Kähkönen has been playing. But Aaron Dell was the third goalie with San Jose. Got called up now that Reimer's hurt. And Dell played against Toronto. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely.
They've been off for a couple of days, I think. And Kähkönen beat Ottawa when they went out west early, a week or two ago. So I think probably Kähkönen plays tomorrow, would be my guess. Can you imagine if they...
Come on.
If they put Aaron Dell back in net for the, that would be the first time, right? Since the whole Batherson thing went down Buffalo last year.
He got sent out right after the suspension. Yeah. So I'm even feeling, I don't know if Waddy would do with his teeth out, but I'm feeling a dust up in warm up. I'm going old school slap shot here. Hey?
If it doesn't happen in warm up, I mean, there's nothing saying you can't go over the boards.
Yeah, that's a good point by you, Hammer.
And get you some.
What about a good hallway brawl? We haven't seen that since, Torts Hartley.
Yeah, Bob Hartley.
Like I'm feeling maybe a throw down there, but I think this is a chance. So if I'm the Drake, like I want a pound of flesh here. No, fill the net, fill him in, right?
Fill him in and then fill the net.
Yeah,
do both.
Yeah, exactly.
Why stop short?
You're talking about a little crease crash.
You know what? Even if he doesn't play tomorrow, all right, he's sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
You're skating back. If you're Batherson, you're skating back to the bench. Normally, you got your blade down on the ice.
Oh,
maybe you're just skating back, you know, and it's like you just got it up top there and just nicked him on the way by. I don't know how that happened.
No,
just a mistake.
Yeah, you circle up and you come by the glass and he doesn't see you coming, hey? And then you do the old slap shot. You maybe rattle the whole bench, hey?
Yeah.
Even give Quinner a shot and he's not even part of it, David Quinn. Just a little rake across. And I'm really excited, guys, to see Karlsson. You know, I know he's been putting up the great points and I've watched a little bit on TV, but just curious to see where that first step is at. That's always been my part of Erik Karlsson, is that unfortunately, based on putting his career on the line and basically taking the Sens to the third round of the playoffs in 2017 on that bad ankle, it's never been quite the same for his escapability.
Sens and Sharks is tomorrow night at Canadian Tire Center for a 7 o'clock faceoff. Sens and Rangers tonight from MSG. Both games, of course, right here on TSN 1200. We'll take a break. 8 o'clock. Continue to share your thoughts and your wrenches on this wrench-throwing Friday. You can text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN 1200. Top of the hour update is upcoming. And then we'll be joined by our TSN hockey insider, Dave Poulin, coming up next on TSN 1200.